Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Romans 11, verse 29, one short verse. I'll talk about it after we pray and kind of give some context to it, but I just want to read it to start. Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I want to read it one more time. Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Father God, we love you. We need you. We thank you for being so good and faithful to us. I ask you to be with our service today. Be with the kids, Lord. I know they got lots of energy today. Help them to, Lord, be able to listen and learn something in class. Thank you for the kids in this church, God. Thank you, Lord. I know there's churches all over the Cape, all over the country, Lord, that would love to have young families with kids in their church. And we are blessed with so many, and we are thankful for that. Help them to grow in their faith as young children, God. And help us as parents and grandparents to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord and raise them right and give us grace for that. Bless the sermon today, Lord. Bless the sermon today. Give me power from on high, and Lord, help me to say what needs to be said. Keep us safe from distractions. I plead the blood of Christ over this room. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Many of you know my son, Seth John Savini, and he's right now back in the sensory room. If you don't know Seth, Seth has nonverbal autism, and we found out about that back, I believe, in 2017 when we were still in Jackson, Michigan. And up to that point, we just thought he was kind of, you know, starting a little bit slower with his word, but he's got severe nonverbal autism. He's doing exceptional right now in his school. He's got a great IEP. He's at the collaborative there. And God's blessing so well for Seth, and he's going to be 13 in January. Crazy. But back before we found out he had autism, when he was just a young boy, I remember one fall day. Charlie was a baby, so he was still not really walking around doing anything like that. We were at our house in Jackson, Michigan, the church parsonage. I was a youth pastor at a Baptist church there, and we had a beautiful, sprawling church property, over 40 acres of church property. It's where I went hunting that one time, John, and got a deer. Yeah, pretty good. The one time I went hunting. Anyways, 40 acres of property, big, beautiful, old church building. Right across the parking lot was our house. A little brick house, and it was on a main road right off the highway. The speed limit was probably 50 miles an hour on that road, North Elm Avenue. But there was no other houses around. We were the only house. Next to us was one of the local prisons. You know, so our neighbors were pretty quiet, actually. And so it was just field, and it was so much. We had a big church field down behind our house on a little dirt path with a little playground, a big base softball field. And then the church had some grass around it too. And one fall afternoon, we were out in the yard, my wife and I, Marissa, and little Donald, and little Seth, and really little Charlie. Charlie was in like a little stand-up, probably walker type deal in the yard. We were raking leaves, just having fun on a nice Saturday afternoon. And like it sometimes happens, you're one moment you're enjoying time as a family, and then the next moment something changes. And again, we did not know Seth had autism at this time. We hadn't had him tested. He hadn't really been in any therapies yet. Part of his autism diagnosis and one of the attributes of autism for some children is something called elopement, which is when they will wander off. They have no sense of fear and no sense of danger. Again, we didn't know this at the time. He was probably 2 or 3 years old, walking and very quiet. And we looked up from raking, and I started to count the kids, and I said, oh, Seth's not here. We had no fence in our backyard. It was just a big grassy. You could go right to the front, right down to the field, right across the church parking lot. And he was there one moment, and the next moment he was not. So I said, oh, where's Seth? Where'd he go? Did he go back inside? At that time in Seth's life, he still does it now, but he's much bigger to spot. He would just fall asleep in random places. So we started looking around the yard. Sethy, I said, go check inside real quick. And you know, as a parent, there's like a fine line between when you're not nervous and then when panic starts to set in. It's a horrible feeling. It's happened more than once. Brady, when he was potty training, decided to hide out every time he had an accident because he thought he'd get in trouble. I had to call the police once because I couldn't find Brady. He was hiding in a closet, the little jerk. And but Sethi, on this day, okay, we're looking around. I said, maybe he, like, is he in one of the piles of leaves just kind of sleeping? I didn't know. And suddenly that shift happened in my heart as a parent, where one moment I'm like, you know, oh, where'd he go? And then I'm like, where is he? Talking about a big church property, okay? No fence in the backyard. And we start to look. I said, go inside, check the room. Maybe he fell asleep in one of the rooms. Well, she goes inside, and I think I went inside. We're running through the hallways, and it wasn't a huge house, and we did not see him. Then we're back outside again. We're looking around the front. Don't see him. So then you can tell when it's one moment, it's just like, Seth, Seth, and then there's kind of a panic. Seth, Seth, Sethi, hey, Seth John, hey, Sethi. And you start to really kind of lose your mind a bit. So I ran down to the church field where the playground was, and I'm running and I'm sprinting. Marissa is calling his name, obviously having to watch Donald and Charlie as well, but calling, beginning to cry a little bit as the nervousness of a mother. And I'm running down to the field calling his name, Seth! Hey, Sethi! Seth! He's probably going to come running in right now if I keep doing this. Seth! And I get down to the playground and I look around and I'm looking, trying to be fast. I don't see him. I run back up and I said, I'm going to go over to the church parking lot and see if maybe he walked across the parking lot. The church building was locked. Maybe he's on the grass. And I remember running across the parking lot, calling his name. And panic is beginning to set in. As I got to the edge of the road, the worst feeling in the world is having to look up and see if maybe he's walking on this busy road and I don't see him. So I continue to run. Then your mind's like, did somebody grab him? Did somebody take him? It's horrible feeling. And I run across to the church building, and it's a big building. I said, if I get to the other side of this building and run around it and I don't see him, I'm calling the police. And I remember getting around and running and calling, Seth, Seth, Seth. And I get to the other side. He's not there. I call the police and say, I cannot find my son. Again, we don't know he's autistic at this time. So we're just like, what's going on? And We're running and we're calling. And I believe it was Marissa who had tried to go down to the field again. Yes. And he must have been at the top of the playground laying down. But when she got there, when I ran back down, I think she called. The police had just pulled in. He was sitting at the bottom of the slide with his feet over the edge, cool as a cucumber. We were a mess. And he was fine. It was a terrible feeling. We were calling his name hundreds of times with panic, with fear. We want the safety of our son. We want him to be okay. And he wasn't answering. The message today is, I believe God is calling, but many don't answer. Now for Seth has an autism diagnosis. We didn't know that. Now as time went on, we begin to understand more. And that didn't really happen as much by the grace of God. We were much more careful, and it was a tough journey, and God had given us so much grace. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about you, Christian brother and sister. Sometimes that's how it is with God. God is calling to you. God is calling out to you with something to do, somewhere to go, a job to fulfill, and we are not answering. He's calling us to something, towards obedience, calling us to serve, calling us to surrender. Hey, in some cases, calling us to trust Him, but we're not answering. Maybe it's because we're too busy. Our lives are so loud with the busyness of society and of life, we're not answering. Maybe we're uncaring. We have other things in our lives that are highly prioritized. Maybe we're doubtful that we won't be able to accomplish it. Maybe we're just apathetic. We just don't really care. Or maybe we're just not listening. And sometimes, worse yet, we hear His call. We know what God wants us to do. We know what He's calling us to, and we refuse to obey. God calls, but many don't answer. Romans 11:29, this scripture that I read, where Paul says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Let me give you some context. Paul here is writing to the Romans, the Christians there, about God's unchanging faithfulness to his people Israel, to the Jewish people. Even though Israel had turned away so many times, we can see in the Old Testament, God's promises to his people, his gifts, his callings, were without repentance, as in he doesn't take them back. And we can take the principle of that truth of God's character. When God calls you, whatever that may be, for me it was ministry. God called me to preach, to be a pastor. But maybe for you, he's calling you into marriage as a husband or wife, or as a parent, or to serve in your local church, or to walk through a trial. Or maybe in some cases it is a calling to ministry or to missionary work. Fill in the blank. I would be foolish as a pastor to think that God would never call somebody from this place to serve him full time. I would hope that one day, in the years that we'll serve here, by the grace of God, that some will stand and say, "You know, I believe God wants me to be a missionary or a pastor or a youth pastor," or something like that. But God calls. He doesn't say, never mind. He doesn't withdraw his call on our lives. His call stands firm because his purposes never fail. His purpose never fails. But I believe, church, God calls, and many don't answer. So what do we need to understand about the calling of God? I have three things today, and we'll be done. Three things today about the call of God, and we'll be through. Number one, this: callings are a cross. Callings are a cross. What do you mean, Pastor? Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, he said, "If any man will come after me, follow me, be my disciple. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." God's calling isn't always convenient, and it sure isn't always comfortable. Sometimes the call of God is heavy. Sometimes the call of God is painful. Sometimes the call of God costs you something. Callings are a cross. When Jesus called his disciples, the 12 disciples, he didn't call them to comfort. He called them to a cross. Hey, the call to ministry for me, Donald Savini, is a cross. It's something that I carry. It's a burden that I carry. Do I love being a pastor? Yes. Do I always love being a pastor? No. I know, right, Darren? It's hard to believe. Listen, ministry is a cross. Walking through a trial that God has led you into is a cross. Hey, even the call to marriage and parenting can be a cross, because it is service, it's sacrificial, it's self-denial. And guess what? Our flesh doesn't like those things. See, oh, it's natural as a parent. Guess what? It's not always that way. My flesh sometimes wins as a dad. Hey, my flesh sometimes wins as a spouse, as a husband. Marriage, the call to marriage to be a godly husband that leads his wife in love and grace, is a cross sometimes, because I am a broken man. The call to be a father that raises his kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and is trying to raise godly young men for Jesus Christ, that's a cross. It's heavy sometimes. And here's something important. Listen, sometimes you don't even want to follow the call. You have the call. You know what it is. And you just don't want to follow it. Look at Jonah. God called Jonah. What did he do? He ran the other way. God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, and he said, "I can't do it." God called Jeremiah to preach, and he said, "I'm just too young." Listen, if you've ever said, and I've been here, if you've ever said, "God, I don't think I can do this," you are in good company. Because many of the stories in the Word of God are people that said, "I don't think I can do this, God." Callings are a cross. And listen, the cross of Christ, God's, listen, Jesus, remember, "Not my will, but thine be done," Jesus said. The cross of Christ was heavy too. It was painful. But it was through the cross of Jesus Christ that the world was saved, that a way was made for salvation. When God calls you, he's not trying to burden you down and crush you down. No, he's inviting you into something eternal. See, if he's calling you to something that feels heavy, it might just mean it's holy. Callings are a cross. And you say, well, I'm a new Christian, or this and that, or all the excuses you have of, well, God wouldn't call me. I mean, if he did, I would answer, but he wouldn't call me. I'm just a nobody. Lies of the enemy every time. God has a purpose. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ, Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen, it's a cross. Don't run from your cross. Embrace your cross, because that is where God's greatest work is done. There have been many difficult days for Coastline Baptist Church and for the pastor of Coastline Baptist Church. Many difficult and challenging days. Days that felt like a heavy cross. But it was in those moments of, by the grace of God and with the help of the Spirit of God and my family and our church, as I carried that cross of ministry, God's greatest work was done. Just a few weeks back, we had 9 people that accepted Christ. I think that's worth the weight of a cross. Listen, you think that your cross is too heavy to bear. God gives strength and grace. You keep carrying that cross. You fulfill that calling that God has on your life, and you'll see him do things you could never imagine. Callings are a cross. Number 2, callings are crucial to fulfillment in life. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me tell you something. You can live a decent life outside of your calling. You can make money outside of your calling. You can find some happiness outside of your calling. You can even build a name outside of what God is calling you to do. And by the way, let me just pause and say this. When I'm talking about God's calling on your life, I'm not strictly talking about ministry. Hope you know that. For some people, it might be that way. For me, it was. But I'm not talking about that. When I say calling, this doesn't mean the call to be a pastor or things like that. I'm talking about whatever God wants you to do, whatever purpose he has for you. And by the way, every single one of you in this room has a calling from God on your life, a purpose he wants you to fulfill. There's no just this, just that. Maybe it is being a godly dad that raises kids. Maybe it is being a loving wife. Maybe it is ministry. Maybe it is being a better testimony at work. Whatever it may be, God will speak. But let me say this. You can find a little bit of happiness and some fulfillment outside of your calling, but you'll never be whole. God wired you for a purpose. And if you're living outside that purpose, you'll always feel like something's missing. By the way, there are situations in life where we can sometimes disqualify ourselves from a calling. That doesn't mean that God is through with you. Okay, God is big enough. God is big enough to call you to something that will fit where you're at. Believe that. Listen, the Bible talks about pastors and how they need to be a husband of one wife. So God forbid something happened and I couldn't be a pastor and we got divorced and I couldn't be a pastor. It wouldn't mean God is through with me. It wouldn't mean that. So I'm being very open right now, because I want you to know that God is bigger than all that. God is bigger than all that. Callings are crucial to fulfillment, and God wants you to be fulfilled. Hey, God wants you to feel fulfilled. He wants you to have purpose. Do you hear me? God wants you to have purpose. He's big enough in your issues. Callings are crucial to fulfillment. He wired you for a purpose. Many Christians are getting by doing something other than what God called them to do. They're good people. They're faithful people. But they're not fulfilled people. Now let me add something to this. Desire does not equal calling. That's a side note here. Just because you really want to do something does not mean that that's what you're called to do. Okay, just because you want something doesn't mean God called you to do it. The scriptures say in Proverbs 19, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Listen, your desires can change, but God's call remains steady. Sometimes God's calling you to something that you don't desire at first. When I was a youth pastor, I didn't want to pastor a church. I sure didn't want to plant a church. Not with four children, not with a child with autism. I knew it was going to be a lot of work. And I said, I remember saying, man, I think I'll just be an assistant pastor, youth pastor forever. It's fine. I love it. I'm not going to plant a church. Our desires can change. Sometimes God calls you something that you don't want. You may not want to go. Hey, you may not want to forgive. Some of us, God's calling us not to a position or a new job, but God's calling you to forgiveness. Hey, you may not want to serve in this or that ministry, or you may not want to obviously walk through that trial, but obedience leads to fulfillment that desire never can. True fulfillment isn't found in what you do. It's found in doing what God made you to do. Think about that. True fulfillment is not found in just what you do. It's found in doing what God made you to do. You can meet millionaires and billionaires and giant CEOs of huge companies that are miserable, unfulfilled people. I've met many a rich man who is unhappy. I'm like, wow, you got a lot of stuff, but you're not very happy. And on the other side, I've met people that have next to nothing and they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Because true fulfillment is not found in what you do. It's in doing what God made you to do. Jonah ran from God's call. And he ended up in a storm and then literally inside of a fish. Because listen, when you run from your calling, life stops making sense. Jonah's in the belly of a whale, running from God's call. Jeremiah 29 says, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Listen, when you're walking in your calling, even the hard days make sense. When you're walking and resting in your calling, even the hard days are hard. It doesn't take away the difficulty and challenge of them, but they begin to make sense. Even the pain has a purpose. We have walked through trial after trial with Coastline, with this building, with contractors, with this, with permits, all across the board. But guess what? I know that God called me here. I know, Janet, that I'm supposed to be here right now. We had Open House Sunday. We sent out 5,000 mailers. It took forever to... Remember, we bought the wrong size? And I brought them, we sorted them all by neighborhood like you're supposed to for the post office. I brought them, Ted, to the post office, said, here these are. We're ready to send them out. He's like, these aren't the right size. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a postcard. He's like, yeah, we only do them when like this big. I'm like, well, that's great. So we didn't do the mailers then. Open House Sunday was in September. It was supposed to be in June. We had to buy new mailers and organize them again. It was horrible. It took forever. It was annoying. And we sent them all out. Open House Sunday, September 9th, 2022, I think it was. It's going to be great. It's going to be big. And I think we had 4 visitors. I'm like, I thought we were going to have 4,000. You know, what happened? And it was kind of discouraging. But guess what? Guess what? Janet came. Isn't that great? Yeah. Janet came. And she's still here. Yeah, isn't that a miracle? Praise the Lord. Janet came. Janet's here, and Janet has been nothing short of an incredible blessing in my life as a pastor and in this church. This is not, by the way, Janet, you know I'm not going to, Janet's a humble lady. She doesn't want me to even say all that, but what I'm getting to a point here is that sometimes the call, listen, I knew I was supposed to send those mailers out, and it was kind of annoying that Open House Sunday, I wanted it to be this big, huge thing, and it was a great day, but it was just kind of, 4 visitors. I'm like, we sent 5,000 things out. You know, like, what did I do, a typo? Like, was it the wrong date? No. God was just doing something in me, and obviously doing something in Janet, and she's here, and God has used her. And by the way, she's invited people that are here in this room right now. Kelly got Kelly's helping in junior church today at Super Church. Kelly, I baptized Kelly and Paul last summer, who got saved in this church. Janet invited them from work. So you see how God works? You see how God works? There is pain in the calling sometimes. There is difficulty in the calling. Walking through a trial, that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. God calls us to walk through a difficult circumstance. And you're like, what is going on, God? I don't like this. But callings are crucial to fulfillment. Last thing is this. Number three, callings are carefully planned by the Father. Even the tough ones. Even the difficult ones. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee. Callings are carefully planned by the Father. He knows. He knows. Philippians 1:6, he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, God won't call you to something that you can't do. He will always make a way. By the way, everything God calls you, we can't do without Him. But God is for us. If He calls you, He's equipping you with what you'll need, or He'll supply it along the way. I've seen that in my life personally. Think I was ready to be a church planter and a pastor? No! But God, along the way, has taught me and provided and supplied what I need. He often calls you to things that you can't do without Him, and that's where faith comes in. When Moses, like I said, was called to lead God's people out of Egypt, he said, Lord, I can't speak. Gideon was called to fight against the enemies of God in the Old Testament. He said, I'm the least in my family. I can't do it. And God said to each one of these people, don't worry, I'll be with you. See, your calling was crafted before you were ever born. Your calling isn't based on your ability. It's based on your availability. God, I'm willing. God, lead me. When I, as a teenage boy at a youth conference for our church, went up to an altar after a sermon and said, God, whatever you want for my life, I'll do. God, I'll be a pastor. God, I'll be a youth pastor. God, I'll go to Africa, be a missionary. God, whatever you want, I'll do. I never knew that included being a special needs father, which is harder than going to Africa to be a missionary. It's a lifelong journey of challenge. We didn't know that when me and Marissa got married and said, God, use our marriage and use our lives for you. We didn't know it meant raising a child with severe disability and going through those journeys. But He's not looking. Listen, we can't do that without God. We can't do that without the power and grace of God. But He's not looking for your ability, that you got the strength to do it all. No, He's just looking for those who are willing. Some of you, God has been calling and you haven't been listening. You haven't been listening. God's been calling you, maybe even in this church. He said, I've given you a church. I've given you a place to go and be help for your family, for your children, for your marriage, for your future. And it's right there every Sunday, 10:30. It's your place. I've given you a place. And yet we still kind of treat it like, well, when I can, I will. Some of you right now, you know, God's just simply calling you to grow as a Christian and you refuse to do it because you got too much going on in life. Some of you, God is about to call. He's about to call you into some greater things, and you're already making excuses of why you're not going to be able to do it. Stop leaning on all the reasons you can't follow God's calling. If He called you, He already knows your weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So rest in your calling. Whatever it is in your life right now that God is calling you to, trust His design. Callings are carefully planned by the Father. Obey His voice. Can I use you, Darren, real quick? As a volunteer. Darren is going to be, as we're finishing up, Darren is going to be just the average Christian, child of God, good man, good dad, good husband, yep. And I'm going to be, for this illustration, here, stand right here in the middle. I'm going to be the Lord calling, all right? And Darren, I want you to do something. I want you to, no matter what I say, in all seriousness, I just want you to ignore me. Okay, I promise this isn't going to be like a funny thing. This is going to be like just try to think about this. Darren's a good man, okay, in real life he is, by the way. But in this illustration, he's not someone who's got a bunch of, you know, hidden agendas. No, he's just a guy working, living. But God is trying to call Darren to some bigger things. God, who knows Darren, who knows Darren's weaknesses, who knows the situation, who knows his circumstances in life, God is trying to bring Darren to a new place. Because by the way, as followers of God, as Christians, we're supposed to grow, right? Hey, right? We're supposed to grow. We're not supposed to stay stagnant and just, no, we're supposed to grow. So God is trying to call Darren, okay? But he's going to ignore me. Don't look at me. Pretend I'm not even here. So God is here, and God is saying, Darren, man, you've been saved for a while. And I brought you to this church and to Coastline, and you've grown, but I have some things I want you to do. Hey, Darren, man, I got plans for your life. You see what's going on here? Darren, I know things are good right now and you got a great job, but Darren, I promise, if you listen, you got to follow me. There's people I want you to reach. Hey, there's things I want you to accomplish for me. Hey, there's people in your life, listen, that if you don't reach them, if you don't follow my call, they're going to die and go to hell. Darren, please. Darren, you'll never know how I can use you. Please, just listen to my voice. I promise I won't lead you into destruction. I promise I won't lead you down a path that you can't handle. My goodness, your kids, Naima and Anthony, I need you to follow my calling for their sake, for your dear wife, Mercy. Listen, and God is calling, and God is doing everything he can to just reach somebody, but they just don't listen. And we just don't listen. And God is calling. God is calling out to you today. He's calling you to greater things. He's calling you to ministry. He's calling you to be a good dad, a good mom, a good husband, a godly wife. He's calling you to reach those co-workers with Christ. He's calling you to continue to walk through that trial with grace and with faith. He's calling you to serve. He's calling you to give. And yet, we ignore. We ignore. We have all these reasons why. God is still calling today. He's calling some to serve. Yes, he's calling some to surrender. He's calling some to trust him in a trial. Hey, he may be calling some to salvation today. He's saying, man, before I can call you to your purpose, I need to be your father. I'm calling you to be my child today, God is calling. And the question isn't whether God is calling, because he is. The question is, will you answer? Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Don't ignore the voice of God in your life. Don't ignore the voice of God in your life. Don't delay his call. I think of all the things that I could have done. I think of all the things that I did do that almost maybe forfeited, caused me to forfeit my call. But God in his grace delivered me and rescued me. I'm glad that I listened to the call of God in my life. Do I waver sometimes? Do I doubt it sometimes? Yes, I'm human. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I'm glad that I listened to God's call on my life. I'm glad that I came to Cape Cod. I'm glad that we tried to reach people. I'm glad that we sent those stupid mailers out. I'm glad. Because I'm standing here today As the pastor of this church, a weak man who needs grace and who needs Jesus, who's trying to be a good husband, who's trying to be a good dad, who's trying to provide on the Cape, trying to build a church by God's grace, and it's hard and it's challenging, and you know I'm going to put the positive pressure on you. Hey, be here, serve, serve. But I'm glad that I listened to God's call on my life. Maybe I could be out somewhere else making a lot more money, but I wouldn't be fulfilled. Hey, maybe I could be somewhere in charge of a big group of people and a big staff and have a nice big house that I own. I don't right now, but I feel fulfilled. I can pillow my head at night in a house that I don't own, with bills that I got to pay, with debt that I'm trying to get rid of, with a busy schedule the next day, and I can feel whole. Because that's the feeling you get when you just listen to God. And I don't always listen to God. That's not what I'm trying to say. I don't listen to God enough. But I'm trying. God's calling you to something. Trust His voice. Because when you answer God's call, you'll never believe. You'll never believe how God will use you. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.